Lecture topic, navigating around the sins of lust and anger towards the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhina astafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اتق المحارم تكن أعبد الناس أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Most respected ulama-i kiram, brothers and elders, this is an islahi jalsa. So the word itself and the name itself highlights to us that what intention and what niyat we should have in whether saying something or listening, that the niyat is not just to listen to something or just to say it, but this hope that inshallah we take this to heart, whatever beautiful advices were given to us from after the Asr Salah, we take it to heart and we make it a part and parcel of our lives. When thinking about what should be discussed, so the two very common problems due to which people slip, they fall, the two very major issues in people's lives, in my life, in our lives. So that is what was intended, that this is what should be discussed. And this is for my own benefit, for everybody's benefit, inshallah. So the one aspect was what Hazrat Maulana Dawood Sahab discussed, which is related to it, the gaze, which stems from the aspect of shahwa, the lust, sins of the lust. So mashallah, Maulana highlighted many aspects in that for us. And the other aspect is ghussa and anger, which mashallah Hazrat Maulana Usman Sahab Daan Barakatuhum highlighted. So more or less the discussion is already done. But just to further elaborate on the message and the lesson that they gave us. So in the time that we have, this is the lesson that we need to try and understand and take along. When a person is traveling somewhere, nowadays it's the era and the zamana of the GPS. So now if he's going somewhere, he needs to punch in the right coordinates, needs to put in the right destination. If he does not put in the right destination, then he's going to end up somewhere else. Now we are on this journey of life. What is our goal? What is the destination we have punched in? Now many a times we have some things in mind, and in itself, there's nothing wrong with what we have in mind, but that's not the destination. The destination, is it that, for example, a person now, one is somebody who doesn't even have a dini goal. His destination is that he wants to become the biggest businessman on earth, maybe. He wants to become the richest person walking on the land and maybe sailing on the oceans. Then these are never objectives of a mu'min. This is never his destination and goal in life. Because the day when moth comes, then all this will get left behind. So that can't be the goal. That can't be the destination. So all these worldly things, and unfortunately, due to the exposure that we, through the media and whatever else we subject ourselves to, all kinds of futile things become the goals and destinations in the life of a mu'min. Some person, his destination becomes, he wants to become the one who's scores the most goals on a football pitch. Then he can become the footballer of the year. That's become his dream. That's become his goal and destination. Such a futile thing. Something that, forget benefiting anybody in the akhirat, it hasn't even benefited humanity in one single bit in this dunya. The only thing it benefited is the people who have put it together to fleece everybody out of their hard-earned money just to give them some cheap entertainment. That's only, nobody has benefited anything in terms of anything constructive, anything beneficial to mankind. But that becomes the dream of this insan. And the dream of a person who has iman in his heart. Somebody's dream becomes, he wants to become the best batsman. That became his goal, his dream. How many runs he's going to make. And now he's dreaming about it. The month of Ramadan comes through, that's his dream. And then somebody something else, and somebody something else. So all these are never the dreams and aspirations, and can never ever be the destination of a person with iman in his heart. Person got iman in his heart, subhanallah. His goal, his destination. So now sometimes, mashallah, the destination that we have in our minds, it is not supposed to be the destination, it is a means to get to the destination. But that becomes the goal in itself. For example, is it the destination and the goal that a person wants to become a very good mudarris and a teacher of deen, and mashallah, he is teaching Quran Sharif, so that is his goal and destination in life, and or he's teaching some kitabs, etc. Is that the goal and destination? No, that's not the goal and destination. The goal and destination is that Allah Ta'ala must become pleased. But through this medium and means, if he conducted it himself in such a way, he taught the Quran Sharif in such a manner, he transmitted and passed on the knowledge of deen in such a manner, that Allah Ta'ala became pleased, then he reached his goal and destination. But Allah forbid, Allah Ta'ala bless somebody with the knowledge of deen, and he passed on that knowledge, but Allah Ta'ala wasn't pleased. Why Allah Ta'ala wasn't pleased? Because the intention was corrupted. Some ulterior motive came in the way. Dunya became the motive. The method which was being used to pass on deen was wrong. Thought doing some service to deen, but the manner in which it's being done is breaking the laws of Allah Ta'ala. That's not going to get to any destination. The destination is Allah Ta'ala must become pleased. Is the goal that a person now, he dedicates his life to the house of Allah Ta'ala, and he's all the time out, for example, in the path of Allah Ta'ala. That's not the destination. That a person now is spending extended time in the path of Allah Ta'ala, that's not the destination. That's a means to get to the destination. If he spent that time in the correct manner, he spent that time truly connecting with Allah Ta'ala, inviting himself and others towards Allah Ta'ala, and conducting himself in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala, in a way that Allah Ta'ala then became pleased with him, then mashallah, he reached his destination. Allah Ta'ala is pleased with him. But otherwise, if that time was just passed and it was just to now get away from certain issues and just to duck and dive somewhere. And then in the masjid also, all other kinds of things are happening. The person, he has detached himself from his home, from his family, from his business, from his job, from his profession. And he came in the house of Allah Ta'ala, but he didn't detach himself from nafs and shaitan. And now he's outwardly in the path of Allah Ta'ala, but he's spending his time still on his phone, he's spending his time in things that he shouldn't be doing, and he got nowhere. The month of Ramadan is coming. Is it the destination and goal that I must make i'tikaf or spend the whole time in some khanqa? No, that's not the destination. But that can become a means to get to the end. That a person spend his time in i'tikaf or in some khanqa in such a way that he learned what was, how he should be conducting his life, how he should be living his life. And then he lives his life in that manner, in that way his zahir and batin, his external self, his internal self is rectified. He is now living his life in obedience to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Then mashallah he'll reach his goal, Allah ta'ala becomes pleased with him. وَرِضْوَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ Allah ta'ala himself has declared the ultimate, Allah ta'ala must become pleased. If Allah ta'ala is not pleased, then all the things a person did, it took him nowhere. So many times we do certain things, get involved, mashallah, in some amal as well, are trying to increase in some various wazaif and various other things that we might have learned somewhere. But the issue is that overall, are we heading towards the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala or not? That's the question to ask ourselves. Now, for example, a person is writing an examination. So now he's got 10 subjects to write. So 3 subjects, he's really making a lot of effort in it. And he's memorized everything. The other 7, he didn't even touch anything. Doesn't know what's going on. Doesn't have any idea. And now he's very happy that he's, these 3 subjects, he's, you can ask him anything, he knows everything. But he's going to pass at the end of that whole exercise. When the exam is done and the report comes, he's going to say passed, or he's going to say 7 subjects out of 10 is all 0. One student didn't have any idea about what to write one exam, one paper. So now he didn't know what to write. So he wrote there, وَأَلَّيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. He hadn't studied anything. He didn't learn anything. Now this person who's familiar with the ayat of the Quran Sharif, now he'll appreciate now what's the whole. So he wrote, instead of writing anything, he had no answer to write in terms of the questions. So he wrote this ayat of the Quran Sharif, وَأَلَّيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. Person will only get that which he made an effort for. What effort he made, he'll get accordingly. So now when that Ustad was marking the paper, he sees the only thing written here, وَأَلَّيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. So then he wrote under it, وَأَنَّ سَعْيَهُ سَوْفَ يُرَى. And then he followed it by a 0. That well, then soon he'll see the fruit of his effort. He made no effort, so the fruit of it is 0. There's it, you got it. You saw it now. So now this person, that 7 subjects he wrote nothing, he got 0 in it. So now the exam is saying failed. But now he was so thrilled and overjoyed that these 3 subjects, I know everything. So I'm top of the moon. But at the end result, he's in big trouble. So likewise, we sometimes deceive ourselves that the amount of tasbihat I'm doing, I don't think anybody in the whole masjid is doing. Alhamdulillah, tasbihat, subhanallah, Allah's name, and to take it with great azmat and the honor and the greatness of Allah Ta'ala in the heart, that's a tremendously great thing. Somebody is making, mashallah, a lot of nawafil, alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala increase it. But the question still is, overall, are we heading towards the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala or not? Now, mashallah, somebody made his salah with a lot of khushu, khudu, and then not only the farz, and the wajib and sunnat muakkada, but he's making the ghair muakkada as well. He finished his nawafil and all the other amal. He sat and made some tilawat. Then he left the masjid and now he's casting haram glances all over the place. So now by the time he reached home, all that noor of salah and everything, he drained it somewhere else. And then now he's gone home and then he's spending his time on his phone, whatnot he's watching, and whatever else he's reading, and where his heart and mind is gone. So now, is this earning Allah Ta'ala's pleasure? Allah is displeased with this. He hasn't earned Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. MashaAllah, the salah he performed very well, Allah accepts. But he drained everything away. And therefore, the month of Ramadan is on our doorstep. The Hadith Sharif, which we will repeatedly hear, رُبَّ سَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ صِيَامِهِ إِلَّا الْجُوعِ وَرُبَّ قَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ قِيَامِهِ إِلَّا السَّهَرِ. How many a fasting person? He kept the fast. MashaAllah, what an ibadat. As-sawmu li wa ana ajzi bihi. Allah Ta'ala says, fasting? Fasting is for me, for Allah Ta'ala. I myself will reward it, not even anybody, any malaika or anybody. And some mufassirin explain it as, wa ana ujza bihi. I myself am the reward for it. I am myself the reward for it. But such a great amal, yet Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, رُبَّ سَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ صِيَامِهِ إِلَّا الْجُوعِ. Such a great ibadat, and he fulfilled it. He kept the fast from morning till evening, and now in the hot summer days, lengthy days, hot, and he undertook the hunger, the thirst, etc., everything. But what he got? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, only thing he got was hunger. Nothing else, only hunger. So now this fast he kept, what happened to it? Inshallah, the fard and the obligation will get fulfilled, but reward zero. لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ سِيَامِهِ إِلَّا الْجُوعِ. Why? Because he fasted in terms of from food and drink, but his tongue wasn't fasting from ghibat. His tongue wasn't fasting from lying, from vulgar talk, from obscenities. His eyes didn't fast at all. Either out on the street or wherever, on his phone still carried on. So his eyes didn't fast. What kind of fast was this? His ears weren't fasting, still listening to some music or listening to evil talk or whatever else. His heart wasn't fasting. Heart was still soaked in all kinds of evil thoughts. So when the heart was not fasting, the tongue was not fasting, the eyes were not fasting, the ears were not fasting, so Allah Ta'ala was not in need of our fast. It was for us. And that fast of the stomach and belly and staying away from food and drink and whatever Allah has prohibited during the fast was to develop this taqwa so that we fast from everything that Allah Ta'ala has forbidden. Now sometimes we are, alhamdulillah, doing certain amal, but we get into our own deception that I am very good, mashallah. So that's the last thing to fall in, that deception. What is necessary to keep asking ourselves the question, where am I heading? Closer to the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala or to? What's the grand total of the marks where I am going to? So whether it is any work of deen, any effort of deen, whatever tawfiq Allah Ta'ala blesses us with, alhamdulillah, summa alhamdulillah. All this is Allah Ta'ala's special ni'mat. But all this, still the bottom line is, am I earning Allah Ta'ala's pleasure? Or where am I going? So now in order to earn Allah Ta'ala's pleasure, now this month of Ramadan that is coming again, the object of Ramadan, Allah Ta'ala has given us this entire month, whole month, very special, super special time. But the object, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So we develop taqwa. What is this taqwa all about? The minus and the plus of Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi, Hazrat Chaki Makhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, he used to give the example, the minus and the plus wires, meaning the positive and the negative. So now this masjid is lit up, it's because the lighting, there's two wires, both are working. The positive wire and the negative wire, both are in place. If only one wire is in place, there'll be no light. So for that noor of iman to really shine in the heart, and the noor of taqwa to come alive, then this requires that the positive wire is in place as well. Whatever commands of Allah Ta'ala are directed to us, that is being fulfilled. And likewise, the negative wire is in place in the sense that whatever is to be refrained from, that is being refrained. All the sins. Now, when both these wires are in place, now that noor of taqwa will come, will switch on, and the heart will get lit up. And now we will be able to, inshallah, start receiving that special grace of Allah Ta'ala. So now the two things that become the biggest problem on the negative side, the two things that drop us, the two things that become the biggest obstacles, despite all the good that a person does, these things become the downfall. by and large. So one is the shahwat that Allah Ta'ala has placed in this insan. Allah has created us with the shahwat, this desire, the lust. But having created insan with it, Allah has commanded him to control it. And this is the test of insan in this world. All different shahwat. And his entire test in life is to control this. Now the person, mashallah, is engaging in so many good deeds, but then he's not controlling his eyes. He's carefree in the workplace, talking to the females that are working around. So what? He's chatting away. It's all work. Allah knows what work is carrying on. What he's watching? Jo dekhta hai tu, jo dekhta hai chupke ahle jahan se, dekhta hai tujhe koi aasma se. Jo dekhta hai tu chupke ahle jahan se. What you are watching while hiding away from the whole world, somebody is watching from above. Allah is watching. So now, see, life is carrying on. Let it carry on. But now this shahwat becomes, when it's not controlled, person gives in to the temptations, then this brings the downfall. There's an incident about, Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali has mentioned this in his Abbiti as well, from the kitabs of the predecessors, Allama Ibn Jawzi Rahimullah, somebody has mentioned this incident. One person was a muazzin. In those days, the muazzin had to climb up onto the, on a higher place to give the azan. The minaret, whatever you climb up. So now he climbed up to give the azan. All the homes around. So now he is above. Now at that time when he climbed up, so in one of the neighboring homes, one young girl came out for whatever. And he happened to see her from there. So now what he was supposed to have done is immediately shift his gaze. But he didn't do that. He carried on looking. But then when he carried on looking, the poison settled in his heart. The Hadith Sharif, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that Allah Ta'ala says, "An-nazru sahmum min sihami iblis masmum." That the haram glance, that lustful glance, is a poisonous arrow of shaitan. In the previous times, when they were to really make sure somebody is going to be killed, so the arrow, they would poison the tip of the arrow with a very fatal poison. That if this arrow doesn't really hit the person, it just scrapes him also too, the poison will kill him. The arrow won't kill him, but the poison will kill him. So that kind of, that example is being given, that the haram glance is a poisonous arrow of shaitan. And then Allah Ta'ala says, "Man tarakaha makhafati." The one who will forsake it, for who? Because now his wife is going to catch him. His wife catches him or don't catch him, but Allah is watching. And Allah forbid when a person persists in haram, then that gets exposed somewhere. When a person persists in haram, Allah Ta'ala save us, a person then invites the disgrace. Because then this becomes a kind of challenge to Allah Ta'ala. I'm too smart. I can hide my tracks. I can cover everything up. So in any case, Allah Ta'ala says that the one who forsakes this out of my fear, out of the fear of Allah Ta'ala, not the fear of insan and makhluk. Allah is watching. Allah is aware. Now this is one of the biggest downfalls that they have become the biggest traps of shaitan. And in every walk of life, every avenue of deen, the smart tool of shaitan has become the smart trap of shaitan. And Allah forbid, so much of effort, so much of sacrifices people make. Person goes, mashallah, in the path of Allah Ta'ala, he goes in a madrasa, he's there for years, goes and spends time in a khanqa, goes, makes his time available and sacrifices and is in i'tikaf the whole month of Ramadan. So many things, mashallah, so much of sacrifices, and then all washed away in no time in that phone. And then it's just become an impossibility that there's no way I can do without it. I'm burning, but there's no way I can do without fire. I have to be in the fire. So now this person we were talking about, he climbed them on this high place and he looked down and saw this girl, and now he didn't turn his gaze away. When he didn't turn the gaze away, that poison settled. Now sometimes that poison, what it does, then that poison becomes an addiction. So now he wants more of the same. But then he gets deeper and deeper in it. Then one thing leads to another. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he says that shaitan takes a person gradually. Shaitan is also a fisherman. So he takes a person gradually. He first takes him by trapping him through the eye. And then after he's trapped him through the eye, then he traps him through the heart. Because the eye, the gaze, is directly impacts on the heart. And after he has taken control of the heart from what came through the gaze, and then the trap is that then he destroys his chastity. So first it was the eye got corrupted, then the heart got corrupted, and when the heart got corrupted, then the person fell into the worst form of zina and whatever else. So this is the trap. This is how shaitan gradually, he doesn't take a person directly to the end point. Because mashallah, he's a Sufi sahab, he's a Maulana sahab, he's a Hafiz sahab, he is a very, mashallah, in the effort of deen, he's a very prominent person of the community. Where he's going to think of this upfront? So he puts first the small bait. Well, nobody's watching here. And then as Maulana earlier mentioned, now where are we going to put that big screen? But the small screen is everybody's hand. And now what I'm watching in my own free time, in my privacy, who knows? Everything's carrying on. Life is carrying on. So now as a result of that, everything is in downhill, despite so much of effort. And the destination that is Allah Ta'ala pleased with us, we're nowhere near that. Because whatever little is being done, that too is getting washed away. So now this person stood on top, and he just now caught his eye, and then he carried on looking, the poison settled in his heart. Now he came down after giving the azan, but this is not leaving his heart. He tried to turn his mind away, this is the trap shaitan sets. The person says, no, just one time, don't worry. I won't do it again, just one time. But that one time for the so-called pleasure of the eye, the heart went in the tentacles of shaitan. Now he wants to turn it, but he can't. So now he's trying and just nothing is happening. So eventually he went and he met the father of that girl. He said, I want to marry your daughter. He said, you want to marry my daughter? You're a Muslim, and they were Majusi, they were fire worshippers, or Yahudi. He said, this is not going to work out. The only way it works out is if you give up your deen. You become what we are, then we can offer our daughter to you in marriage. The tentacles of shaitan had dug in so deep, and this is the danger of persisting in sin. Sometimes shaitan puts this waswasa, it's a small thing now, it's a small thing. But these small things become big. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an, he says, Iyakum wa muhaqqarati dhunub. Beware of all the minor sins. Major sins, that's even a very far, very big thing. Even the minor sins, beware of it. Because when all this gathers together, then this becomes a load. And it will kill the person. You take a whole lot of small little pebbles. Each pebble is hardly weighing half a gram. But take a whole load of it and put it on somebody's head, it will crush him. Whereas each pebble, they is not even weighing 1 gram. But here is not one. There's now a whole load of it. So all those minor, so everything is minor. This is minor. That is only just makruh. That is only makruh. But all this makruh and this minor, everything gathered together and became such a huge load, it crushes the person. crushes him into what? First into kabair. First into major sins. And from major sins, if that persists, Allah forbid way it can take him. It can take him to kufr. This is why the statement of the mashayikh, al-ma'asi, baridul kufr. I get a postman. Sins are the postman to kufr. It delivers a person on that end sometimes, Allah forbid. So now this fellow came, now he put the proposal, so this was the condition put forward to him. So he accepted that. He said, okay, na'uzubillah, he's given up his deen. And now he came, now he's in the state of kufr, because this is what he's done. And then in the state now, the time came for the next azan. But now he's still in the state of kufr, but now nobody knows what's going on. Who knows anything? He climbed up to go and give the next azan. Now in those days that probably it was all just ladders, as climbing up he fell and he broke his neck and died. Hasira dunya wal akhirah. Neither did that marriage take place, and he lost his akhirat as well. Now the whole story emerged. This person came and proposed here, and he accepted to give up his deen already. Now people realized he died in the state of kufr. But where it started off from, the sin, and the sins of the eyes, and this uncontrolled, this shahwat. But where it led to. So this is one major, very serious matter. Now this doesn't come right and doesn't come under control by just thinking about it, listening to one talk somewhere, that now mashallah will help to inspire something. Whatever we read, that must do that. We must read the kitabs of the akabir, the mashayikh, and don't just read for the sake of increasing knowledge. Knowledge will increase. Person has built a window so that he gets fresh air in. So he's going to open the window because he built it for fresh air. Only the air will come in, light won't come in. He's going to open the window for the fresh air, the light must come in. There's no way that he's going to be able to avoid the light coming in. The light will come in. So the person is going to read it for the purpose of inspiring his heart to gain the taluk with Allah Ta'ala. The writings of the akabir are a substitute for their suhbat. With that intention, that this is the substitute for the sohbat of the akabir. Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi used to emphasize this, that those who are far away, they can't come, then read my kitabs, that is the substitute of the sohbat. So with that intention, the knowledge will automatically come. So in any case, now this will not just come under control, just on its own. When there's a huge fire, they have to call the fire brigade. They have to call people who are skilled in that. Otherwise, then it just becomes an inferno. Allah forbid, if we are burning in this inferno, we need help. And we should take the help. MashaAllah, there are many people who will be able to help us. We should put everything else behind, and for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, take the help to come out of this fire. Before it burns our deen, burns our dunya, burns our marriages, burns our homes, burns our business, and because everything goes down the line of shahwat. Destroys everything. Allah Ta'ala save me, save all of us. So this is one very, very major problem. And this phone has become the biggest tool in this whole process, which drops a person from where to where, and then this becomes a cycle. Allah forbid, what it leaves of a person. So this is the one aspect. And the other aspect is this anger, ghussa. When this takes over, when this is uncontrolled, Allah Ta'ala has created insan with these emotions. This is part of human nature. And therefore in the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala doesn't say, "Wal adimin al-ghayz." Those who eliminate their anger. Can't eliminate it. Allah Ta'ala says, "Wal kaazimin al-ghayz." Those who suppress it. Because there are valid places for it to be vented also, but within its limits, in the correct manner, for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, where the deen of Allah Ta'ala is being trampled. But for our nafs, for our personal self, there then that anger must be suppressed and controlled. So, when this anger goes out of control, many of the issues and the problems that are in homes, in families, in society, in the workplace, in so many relationships, the root issue of many of it is just uncontrolled anger. Somebody just got upset, and in that moment started blurting some things. Then now they got upset and blurted some things that hurt the next person. They got upset and started replying. And then one thing leads to another, and where it finishes off. And everybody has to have the last say. A lot of the problems is simply the root of it is uncontrolled anger. You don't have that strength to just suppress that anger. Just put the lid on it. And often, as Maula mentioned earlier, is that ana, me. Why was I not given that consideration? What I said, that was not taken into account. That became the biggest issue. Whereas we see in the lives of our kabir, mashallah, what, subhanallah, what control they thought. They were those pious people who, they had such control over themselves that they became proverbial in the control of, not that they were dead, they also were insan, they also had feelings. There was a tabi'i, very, very senior personality, Ahnaf bin Qais, rahimahullah, great muhaddis. His sabr and his tolerance had become proverbial. And once some people of his circle, his friends, they were sitting somewhere together, they say, we need to test him out and put him through the test in such a way that it's going to provoke him to get angry. So now what they did was they sent one young person. The young person came and meets him. He said, I've come with some very important work. What work you came with? So he says, well, actually I've come to, now Ahnaf bin Qais rahimahullah, his mother had become widowed from a long time. He says, now I've come to propose marriage to your mother. Now, he's a young person and Ahnaf bin Qais rahimahullah, his mother is an elderly woman, widowed from a long time. And now this young boy is coming and saying, I've come to propose marriage to your mother. Now it's such a situation and such a kind of statement that somebody else might have got provoked to such an extent that this person might not have had any other chance for anything else. Forget knowing what's the result of the proposal. He would have been proposed to go to the qabr now. So Ahnaf bin Qais rahimahullah very calmly replied to him that, look, my mother is a very elderly woman. You're a young person. You should be getting married to somebody in your age group who you can then be compatible with, and then someday she can be the mother of your children and you can live life in that manner until Allah Ta'ala wills. So you should be seeking somebody in that category. So you should go ahead with that. My mother is a very elderly person. He said this much to him. So now this person got dumbfounded with the answer. So he turned to leave. And as he was leaving, these people, they are not sleeping or dead. They know what's happening under the surface. He read the situation and he detected what went on here. As this person turned to leave, he said, and as you're going, take this message along. The people who sent you, tell them that you failed in what you came to do. He just gave him a message also. That you came to provoke me. You came to now stir something and to see now what's going to happen. So go tell them also that you failed in your task. But subhanallah. Hazrat Shah Ismail Shaheed rahmatullah alayhi, very, very great personality, very great alim and great wali of Allah Ta'ala. And he's giving a talk in the Jama Masjid of Delhi, packed to capacity, thousands of people, and in the midst of this gathering, one person stands up and he says to him that we have been told that you are, na'uzu billah, an illegitimate person. Can we imagine this kind of provocation? Many a times, this is it. Why you did this? And why you went to this extent? and why you spoke in that manner? He says, no, how, but the person provoked me. Yes, it happens, people do provoke. But we're getting provoked over every simple thing, every trivial thing, every small little thing. And then in that, what is the outcome? What is said? What is done? What kind of words come out? But all that because sometimes it happened behind closed doors, because it happened with some individual somewhere only. So, mashallah, our impression and the whatever impression we have in front of people, what people think of us, nothing would affect it, because this was somewhere else in one corner. We vented ourselves and said what we wanted to say, did what we wanted to do, and life carried on. Mashallah, we're just as pious as ever. We are just as, mashallah, the buzrug of the time. But this has spoiled so many things. In one hadith sharif, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, this anger spoils iman like sabir, a very, very bitter substance. When it comes into honey, this substance is so bitter, when a little bit of it falls into honey, it will make the whole honey bitter. Anger spoils a person's iman in that way. Like how this bitter substance falls into honey, it will make honey, which is so naturally sweet, it will change that whole taste of that honey and make it bitter. The person's whole iman gets spoiled with that anger. What he says, what he does, how he conducts himself, how he loses all his rewards, how he washes his Ramadan away, he washes his Aitikaf away, washes his Hajj and Umrah away, washes his Tilawat away, all his Amal gets washed away, his efforts of Deen, his time out in the path of Allah Ta'ala, everything is washed away, and mashallah, he's still feeling very comfortable. I just did this and I did that and I did this, and I am therefore very good. But what we did, are we reaching our goal and destination? Our destination is Allah Ta'ala must become pleased. So for Allah Ta'ala to gain His pleasure, we need to perform our salah, obviously, and perform it with jama'ah, and perform it with khushu and khudu, and we need to perform more salah, not confine it to just the farz and wajib, and with that, obviously, the sunnah and muakkada, even nawafil, we should be making an effort for. We should be making tilawat of the Quran Sharif, building up all these amal, especially heading towards the month of Ramadan. And likewise, all the other obligations of deen and amal of deen. But together with that, the self-inspection all the time, the introspection and the checking and double-checking, are we heading overall towards the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala? And that requires giving up sin. So now we need to sit down and take stock of ourselves. What I got in my life? Is my eyes under control? Are my eyes under control? My tongue, what is the condition of my tongue? What kind of talk do I speak? What kind of languages do I speak? My life in general, where am I heading? Taking stock of ourselves. And the path of this islah, the tried and tested and proven method, and through which all our kabir went through, and they took thousands of people through this path, is that a person, not just lip service or just namesake, just for the sake of now, just being part of a group, he connects himself to one of the mashayikh who he has that compatibility with, and not just for the sake of doing it, but for the purpose of islah. And that requires ittila, that he is communicating transparently, honestly what his halat are, not selectively. And then he's taking the advice, the ittiba, and he's implementing it. And this is an ongoing effort. And then to the extent that he can, as much as possible, be in the sohbat of the mashayikh, the pious people, the ahlullah, this is the key to the progress in deen. And this will inshallah take us towards our goal. It will bring life in all our amal. It will bring the himmat and the courage to refrain from things Allah has forbidden. It will bring the goodness in our life in every facet. It will bring the realization that is hukukullah also have to be fulfilled. and to be very conscious and fulfill hukukul ibad as well, the rights of people as well. Every aspect of deen. So mashallah, we are heading towards this Mubarak time. The month of Ramadan is around the corner. We are already in this Mubarak month of Shaban. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to prepare for Ramadan. Who we talking about? The greatest of Allah Ta'ala's creation, Ma'asum Nabi of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he is preparing for Ramadan. Part of the preparation used to be excessive fasts in Shaban. So we need to prepare also. The main preparation for us is sincere tawbah. That's the first step. Sincere tawbah. And now, sincerely making tawbah for all the things in our life. Whatever it is, whether it's pertaining to ibadat, mu'amalat, mu'asharat, akhlaq, and all our aspects of zahir and batin that is not in order, making tawbah from it, sincerely, deeply from our hearts. But then, that the work is not finished with that. That's not the end of the journey. Then we have to follow it up. As discussed, connect ourselves with somebody who will guide us, but not just namesake. And then take that advice, implement it, and start taking the steps forward. Allah knows best how much time we have left, when our life will end suddenly. When a person's life goes, our Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to say, ek din guna khud ba khud chhoot jayenge. One day will come where a person won't have to leave out sin. Sins will get left out. That is when Malakul Maut will suddenly come and take his ruh, everything will stop. But at that time, there's no reward for having stopped sins. The sins got stopped because he's no more around. So now, while we have that life still, let us stop the sin. This is what Allah loves. At-ta'ibu min al-dhamb kamalla dhambala. The one who sincerely repents and comes to Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala's grace envelops him. Just to recap that very well-known Hadith Sharif, and to finish off on this note of great hope from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's side, that he gives us the Hadith Sharif which describes how happy Allah gets with the person that repents. The example Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gives, person traveling in the desert, and he's got all his provisions on his camel, and then now he stops somewhere to rest. He's in the middle of nowhere, thousands of miles of, or hundreds of miles of desert, and now in the middle of nowhere, he has stopped to rest, and when he wakes up, that camel has disappeared. No sign of it anywhere. Where is he going to look for it in the desert? How is he going to go look for it? He's got no transport anymore. So all he can do is, after a while, comes and lays down again, waiting for death. Because what else can he do? He's in the middle of a desert. And now he falls asleep again. After a while, his eyes open. Now when his eyes open, to his surprise, that camel is standing right next to him with all his provisions still on it. So now he was already getting ready for death. He had lost all hope. And now suddenly he sees everything is here. So he got so overexcited. In that overexcitement, he exclaims, Anta abdi wa ana rabbuk. Ya Allah, you are my slave and I am your Rabb. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam excuses him. Akhta'a min shiddatil farah. He just said this out of overexcitement. He didn't know what he's saying. He didn't have control over himself. Meaning so excited. To express the extent of his happiness. He can't control himself. Now this is just for an example to understand. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Allah Ta'ala is more happier with his servant who repents than this person who found all his provisions on his camel. In other words, Allah's doors of mercy are wide open for such a person. We have come, mashallah, in this Mubarak gathering. We've heard the talks of our Kabir. Something must have come in our heart with the barakat of all the people of taqwa, salah, so many sulaha, ulama, hufaz-e kiram in this gathering, and in the house of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, in this Mubarak month, something would have come in. Let us seize that opportunity. And let us make tawbah now, today. Not tomorrow, not later. And sincerely for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. And the tawbah requires stopping all the wrong immediately. So now when we will leave, if perchance there's something there, we'll delete it. because that's part of the tawbah. We'll delete all the haram contacts. We'll cut it off and block it right there without any information, any notification. Because shaitan will say, okay, just say one last, you know, goodbye forever. That's his another hook. And whatever other things, other sins, things that have to be done, we start with it. And inshallah, this will pave the way for that Ramadan, which as Allah earlier said, the du'as that Maulana Sahib Rahmatullah used to make, Allah Ta'ala make it our best Ramadan thus far. Inshallah, Allah Ta'ala bless us with the tawfiq, that this Ramadan coming, we already prepare for it from now in such a way, that Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq, we make it the best Ramadan ever. Allah Ta'ala give me and all of us the tawfiq. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq of sincere tawbah. Make us among His muqarrabeen. Make us among those who are all the time concerned to earn His pleasure. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين